Joel 1, from verse 5 to verse 12. Wake up. This is God's call to the people. Wake up. Verse 5, it's directed to the drunkards, but actually it's to the whole nation. God is calling the people to an awakening. Now, are we talking about locusts, literally? Or are we talking about an invading army? Verse 6. A nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. In the previous section, this nation is described as locusts, the hordes of locusts coming in wave after wave, destroying the crops of this society, a society depending on the land. I still think it is literal locusts, but they're described either as locusts when they're an army or as an army when they're locusts. And we know why God has sent this nation of locusts to destroy this people and their land and their crops. It is because of their sin. Many, many passages in the Bible, the Old Testament, show when Israel and Judah sinned against God, then he visited them in judgment, eventually both parts of Israel, north and south, into captivity, Assyria and Babylon. And here is God now saying, look, this has come upon you, Judah. And through the prophet Joel, he is calling the people to wake up, to rise from their sleep. They should face the facts of what is going on. In verse 5, for example, they've been indulging themselves, drunkards, drinkers of wine. Don't you realize that the wine has been snatched from your lips? Don't you realize you have nothing left? Wake up and wail. Can't they see that the crops are destroyed? Verse 7, these locusts have laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees, stripped off their bark, thrown it away, leaving their branches white, peeled. God is calling them to wake up and weep and mourn. Don't they realize that the temple is an utter ruin? Verse 9, the grain offerings, the drink offerings, are cut off from the house of the Lord. And the priests are in mourning, those who minister before the Lord. There's no sacrifices. There's no worship going on there. Nothing is there. God is not appearing among his people. Their joy is gone. The joy of mankind, verse 12. Surely the joy of mankind is withered away. In verses 10 to 12, the fields are ruined. The ground is dried up, hard and cracked. The grain is destroyed. The new wine is dried up. The oil fails. How catastrophic it is. Despair, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers. Grieve for the wheat and the barley. The harvest of the field is destroyed. Their joy is gone. Verse 12. Can't they realize they should wake up and weep and mourn and grieve and despair? Look, it's all verse 5. Verse 8. Grieve and mourn. Verse 9, the priests. Verse 11, the farmers. Verse 12, the joy of mankind, all of them. But Judah was asleep. They had nothing left and they didn't seem to realize it. They needed a prophet to point out the obvious to them. They were in grief, anxiety, desperation, and yet they didn't seem to know it. They were just sleepwalking. But what is it today, my friend? What is it today? What are sinners like today? What are churches like today? Is it not true that many are just sleepwalking into eternity? Are the churches not asleep? Revelation 2 and 3, does not Christ call the churches of North Africa and Asia there? What about Revelation 2 and 3? The churches of Asia that Christ speaks to there. the seven churches, aren't they asleep? Aren't they wandering and drifting, sleepwalking into eternity? They're on the brink of disaster. They're going to lose their candlestick if they don't wake up. And they nearly, well, they all did, didn't they? In due time, they all did lose their candlestick. They didn't wake up enough. What about today, my friend? Don't we need an awakening? Don't we need a reviving? Yes, but before a reviving, we need an awakening. We need the Lord to stir the people to wake up. You see, Acts 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Excellent. But before we get there, how about Acts 16, verse 30? What must I do to be saved? Unbeliever, don't you realize you're on the brink of danger? Don't you realize that hell is gaping and waiting? Believer, look around you. All of us who've been preaching, we've been preaching to so little effect. Our works seem to go so little into the world and do so little good. What is it? Well, it's a day of small things, yes, but why? Oh, may God appear among us again. I speak to myself. I know the teacher has the first responsibility, James 3:1. Root out any sin in me. Lord, search my heart and know me. Try me and test me. And if there's any wicked way in me, remove it from me and restore to me the joy of your salvation. Oh God, if any fault is with me, wash me. May that be our prayer. Awaken us. May we see the poverty of our work and the feebleness of conversions, the smallness of it, and may we look to God to appear for us. Awaken us, awaken unbelievers, and make them cry out, what must I do to be saved? May we realize the danger we're in, and may God appear for us. First of all, awakening us, and then reviving us. First, convicting the sinner, and then converting him. The Spirit is given to convince men of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That's what we need in our time, the convicting and converting power of the Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel. May it be so. May we learn from the prophet Joel. Wake up, wake up. Let us see what is going on. Let us mourn and grieve and despair and look to God for mercy. Only He can save us.